Now on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville, it's time for the only area radio show devoted exclusively to football. That is to say, soccer.
Local, MLS, Premier League, and international.
It's Blokes on the Bench, and you can reach us at 434-284-9470 or at facebook.com/blokesonthebench. Now here's your host, Andy Richardson.
All right, guys, we're going along to another show. What a weekend results we have. Obviously, first of all, congratulations to the Cubs for becoming World Series champions.
108 years.
Yeah.
In the making.
Well done.
What league are the Cubs in?
National League. Pretty dark outside. Like, I forgot the clocks went obviously back, I guess. And, so it is 6 o'clock, guys. All right, so let's get on with the results. Obviously, a pretty hectic weekend. Starting last Monday, Monday the 31st of October, Stoke versus Swansea. And this was a pretty good game for Stoke.
It was, Bonnie going back to Swansea, pulling out 2 goals. Felt sorry for the young kid for Swansea, the Mawson own goal. Couldn't really do much about it. And Routledge scored a decent header in the first half. From what I saw, Stoke were worthy winners. And Joe Allen played absolutely brilliant again in the middle of the park. He's having an absolutely unbelievable season. So
great buy for them.
Yeah, everything's running through him. just like a new dynamic. They've got like great confidence at the moment. And playing some decent football. So fair play to them. Yeah, it was a pretty decent game.
Yeah. All right, so let's move on, obviously, to this weekend at the London Stadium. West Ham versus Stoke again. I love it. Anybody want to jump in here? We had West Ham versus Stoke at the London Stadium. Ryan?
Yeah, 1-1. It wasn't a great game. Payet had a decent free kick. It went just over. A bit of a howler from Adrian for the Stoke goal, but a great little finish from Bojan. And Adrian actually got booked as well, so it was going to be a penalty either way. But
quite a few own goals this weekend.
Yeah, Greg Whelan with the own goal, 65 minutes, got the Hammers in front. But then, like I said, Bojan latching onto a bit of a mistake from a really good play from Walters, actually. A great run, great pick out, got taken out. But Bojan kind of turned a little volley into the top corner, so yeah, no, it's good. But yeah, finished 1-1. Didn't hear any crowd trouble.
Right, because that has been spoiling them, the last few weeks.
It spoiled them in the EFL Cup. It spoiled them last weekend. Can't remember who they played. But the week before, I think, was against Middlesbrough, and they had some trouble then. So, it looks like they've got the police in there now, kind of taking over the security kind of side of it.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a great game. Not much to really talk about on that one, but 1-1.
When's Payet going to show up?
He's been playing.
He has been on and off.
Yeah, he's been playing all right. I think we expect so much from the guy, from what he did last year, how he started the Euros. So
seems like him and Mahrez have had a super dip in form.
Absolutely, but I feel like, to me, that
which were two of the best
happen.
Players last year.
Yeah, but for me, that was always going to happen.
Well, do you think West Ham goes into the end of the bank in January?
I think they have to.
Well, I was going to say, to me, a lot of it, too, is not just the players themselves, but the teams have shown a tremendous dip in form this season.
Mm.
Leicester's not nearly, obviously, nowhere close to what they were last season.
That's because everyone found their secret.
Yeah.
And it's now pretty much going, okay, well, you can have the ball.
Well, West Ham, even last year, they surprised a lot of teams. And were a lot better, I thought, than what I expected them to be last year.
Talking about dip in form, though, Manchester City.
I called this. I said to you, if they were ever going to not perform well, and it's not that they didn't play well, they did create quite a few chances, but they weren't clinical in front of goal. And coming off the result that obviously we'll get into later with the Champions League side.
You would have thought that would have given them confidence.
Yeah, that's what I mean. But it beating Barca, They're at home. That stadium was rocking midweek. And look, when Middlesbrough then roll into town, it's a little bit of a, oh, okay, kind of back to reality.
Like, right.
It's kind of a dream result against Barca.
It looks like they lost their legs in the second half, as did the fans.
Yeah, the fans, the Etihad yesterday was like just ridiculous, like ghost town. There was no atmosphere whatsoever. And I tell you, Middlesbrough had some really decent chances, and I'm glad that they nicked a late equaliser. Darun with a real good header. So,
I ran through my living room after that.
Yeah, I mean, when you watch it, look, City were probably the better team. We'll give them that in the first half. Second half, though, really sloppy in midfield. Fernandinho gave the ball away so many times, and the one he passed.
He's been one of their best players this year too.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, but he passed it straight to, and that's what I mean. That's why I kind of agree with you with the tired legs thing. He played really well midweek. He's in there again. Passes it straight to Negredo. Negredo tries an audacious shot from the halfway line that Bravo tips over. But Middlesbrough kept pressing, kept creating some, you know, semi-decent chances, and got their just rewards on 91 minutes. So
Aguero did have a chance to kill the game off there.
He had a lot of chances.
Couple minutes before they equalized.
Yeah, yeah. Like I said to you, like when we were watching, like he didn't have his shooting boots on that day for sure. Mm. It was, yeah, he was just kind of all over.
Is that him or is it the whole team behind him just not playing well?
No, I mean, he had his chance. On another day, he scores four goals, and we've seen it every season, a couple of, you know, three or four games a season where he's banging in a hat trick. And that was one of those games for him. He was just off a little bit, that's all. But, he, you know, someone of his quality, he'll be probably back at it next weekend, banging in a hat trick. So, yeah, I mean, City have got to be a little bit wary of their league form at the moment because they don't seem to be producing, and they don't seem to be producing at the Etihad, really, in the league. But, yeah, you can't take anything away from Middlesbrough, though. That was a really, really good point for them. Fair play to them.
Right. All right, well, then let's move on to the next game at Turf Moor. Burnley versus Crystal Palace. And Crystal Palace again. Are they coming into that kind of Alan Pardew kind of...
They were... Honestly, it was such a strange game because I think the first three goals were all on counter-attacks from, like, really good chances from the other team. So you had Crystal Palace with a great chance in literally the first minute, and Burnley go at the other end, and Sam Vokes kind of scuffs one over the line from a yard. 1-0 Burnley. That Goodmunson looks like a really good acquisition. Breaks from midfield, gets alongside Sam Vokes, and he got his just rewards on 14 minutes with a really strange goal. Like, he hits it from about 20 yards, keeper gets a hand on it. And I criticised this keeper last week against Liverpool when it was 4-2. A lot of the shots straight down his throat, and he just can't... I'm surprised he's a goalkeeper. I'm scratching my head to see that he's got gloves on. But, yeah, he gets a real weak hand to it. It bounces off the turf and then flies up into the net. So he'll be disappointed with that. But Palace, fair play to Palace. Got back in
that?
It. Connor Wickham literally scored with his very first touch. No flick on, no pass, anything. He comes on and with his very first touch gets him back in it. Then you had Matty Loughton make a terrible decision in the 80th minute.
Yeah.
Just sticks his arm out to block a cross. It's a penalty. Benteke with real cool finish. Which, you know, fair play to him because he missed one a couple of weeks ago. Like, just a blazing, horrible penalty put high and wide.
Yeah.
But it was a real silky finish, that penalty. But then, look, for me, when you're 2-0 down after 14 minutes and you get back to 2-2 in the 81st, take your point and get out of dodge, right? They just kept pressing forward, looking for a winner. And in the 94th minute, the last kick of the... Well, it wasn't the last kick of the game. I'll get to what the last kick of the game is. But... You find Burnley like 3-on-2 in the last minute of the game. What are you doing, Crystal Palace? Like, take your point, shut up shop.
Yeah,
you might get something on a bit of a break, but don't commit 8 men forward from a wide cross from Zaha. I mean, what are you doing? And Ashley Barnes with an absolute glorious finish took it, absolute peach of a half volley into the roof of the net. But then in the 8th, it was funny because literally there was 30 seconds after the restart. and Andros Townsend unleashes one from 20 yards that rattles the foot of the post. So it was actually a pretty entertaining game. Like I said, defenses weren't great. But look, Burnley, 3 points. They'll be really happy with that because, you know what, they backed up a performance against United, got their point. And
yeah. They look like they're going to stay up this year.
Yes, they are. I said at the start of the year, before we even did anything, that they are going to have a massive impact on who wins this league, who goes down. They're just that kind of team. They're going to finish 11th or 12th, and yeah, they'll be relatively happy with that, and they'll try and build for next season.
I'm still waiting for you to pick some lotto numbers, because, I mean, you've been spot on since the beginning. 210,
14, 27, 32, and 45, mate.
Look at them all, writing them down, scurrying them down.
10,
14. Just while we're on the subject, by the way, I just want to point out, Mark is sitting here wearing a blonde wig and his Jack Wilshere Arsenal shirt. White. Well, honestly, are you coming as Lady Gaga today or what?
Trying to look like Carter.
Okay.
Our intern.
Okay.
Got it.
Peaches.
Eyesore.
10, 14.
27, he's actually writing
this. Ladies and gentlemen, he is actually 45. Writing this down, by the way. By the way, just in case everybody doesn't know what they're tuning into, it's just blokes on the bench, obviously talking about soccer on 94.7. You can reach us at 4342 849 470. You're a Liverpool fan? Obviously, you're ecstatic this weekend. Top of the league. You know, let us know what you think. You can also hit us up, blokes on the bench, all one word, at hotmail.com, or on our Facebook page, blokes on the bench, or facebook.com/blokes on the bench. So there you go. And he has actually literally wrote down those numbers. He's going to go and put some money down on the lotto. Anyway, okay, so the next game, Vitality Stadium, Bournemouth versus Sunderland. This was, you know what? We've talked about how in trouble and deep Sunderland are. Moyes gets sent to the top. He's basically taken off. He's got a sideline ban.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, and this is the second one. Remember, Mourinho was on a sideline ban, I believe, today.
Yeah.
And we'll get to that one, obviously. But yeah, Sunderland performed.
What does that tell you, though? Sunderland, right. Distance yourself from David Moyes as much as you can, and you'll get some results. But I said, this is the 11th game, and I said Sunderland will not win a game for 10 games. And I said, if you're a Sunderland fan, go on vacation for 2.5 months. Come back.
Your season starts in the very start of November.
Your season starts in the first week of November, and lo and behold, they somehow got a 2-1 win. I'm pretty sure they went down to
ten men. Yeah, and 1-0 down.
They were 1-0 down. Dan Gosling breaking from midfield, pretty decent finish. But Bournemouth had some real good chances to kill this game off, and didn't really do it. I want to say this because he's 18, 19 years old, English goalkeeper, Pickford for Sunderland. He looks the real deal.
Yeah, he's real.
And the scary thing is this kid's only going to get better.
Right.
And you know what? It's actually good for him to be at a club like Sunderland where he's going to get... He's got his chance and he's going to be peppered every single game. Right? He's not going to have an easy game. And he knows that. And for some of the performances he's put in, obviously early doors for him, but really impressed with him. Really, really solid goalkeeper. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like you said, Bournemouth went 1-0 up. Victor Anichebe, I had to really rub my eyes about 3 or 4 times to see him actually unleash a shot into the roof of the net. But he actually played really well, strong as an ox.
But do you think, and this could work in Sunderland's kind of advantage, that teams like Bournemouth... not obviously the higher league teams, but mid teams below, come to Sunderland going, yeah, we're going to win, and kind of underestimate Sunderland, and Sunderland can then kind of actually put a performance in and get a good result.
I mean, but you look, the truth of the matter is, I don't think Sunderland actually played very well.
Well, they were lucky with, the penalty.
Look at the stats, I think Sunderland had 4 shots at goal and scored... You know, they got the penalty. Jermaine Defoe doing what Jermaine Defoe does. Anichebe actually won that penalty. And you know what? Let me just say something about Victor Anichebe. Apparently, in like the 75th minute, he's cracked like 2 ribs.
Mm.
And then if you watch, in the last minute, he runs the ball into the corner to like waste time and stuff and literally pushes, was it Smith, the defender? Like, just puts an arm out to push him. And the guy flies about 10 yards. That's how strong he is with 2 cracked ribs. I mean, the guy's an absolute ox, but you know what, Victor Anichebe, if he works on his finishing, I mean, he really needs to do a little bit more. He's kind of always been one of those players that's extremely powerful, he's quick, but he's never had the end product. But you look, fair play to Sunderland. They're off, finally got a win, up to 5 points. yeah, I know that sounds weird, but look, when you've got two and you finally get a win, fair play to them. So, yeah.
So, at what point do we hear Moy say this week how Man United still should have kept him?
Yeah, I know, right? But look, at the end of the day, that's an away win as well. That's an away win. So now they're buzzing with confidence. And let's hope that they can put a couple of decent performances. I think they'll probably go on and lose the next three games, but, you know.
Now, and even, like you were talking about the stats, I think Bournemouth took, like, 22 shots.
That's what I mean.
Seven of which were on goal.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's what I'm saying.
Unreal.
Pickford was brilliant.
Brilliant, yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. Next game, Stamford Bridge, Chelsea versus Everton. This was an absolute barn burner.
Really disappointing from a neutral perspective, though. I was hoping to see a really close game, but
Everton never showed up.
Everton never showed up.
It was poor. It was really poor from them. He had a lot of just even you know, the spine of their team is so good with Ashley Williams, Jagielka, Stekelenburg's been playing well, goalkeeper, and then you centre midfielder Gareth Barry, so much experience, and then you got Lukaku up front. I mean, you expected so much more from them. They were just abysmal from like the first whistle. Ross Barkley was non-existent, just an absolute waste.
You hate him.
But Hazard was, it's one of the performances of the Premier League since it started. I mean, the guy was phenomenal. Mm. Absolutely.
It's good to see
brilliant.
Him back in form.
Is it?
I mean, like, you know, not for the league.
If you're a Chelsea fan, you're absolutely buzzing because he was just fantastic. And I said this, we spoke about this earlier. When they were struggling, the two players that weren't playing well, Costa and Hazard, and it has an effect on the other players that aren't at that level. So the players that make up the number, not necessarily make up the numbers, they're obviously very good in their positions, but those kind of players inspire you to up your game and to get them the ball and feed them, and everything's on confidence. Pedro is probably the best performance I've seen him in a Chelsea shirt.
He's been playing really well lately.
And they were just on fire. It was one of the best performances I've seen Costa play. Like his final pass, his goal was really good. He
Hold
had
up
created
play.
A lot of chances. Yeah, his control, his first touch was immaculate.
His first touch was much better than Lukaku in the game. And, you know, I don't want to say they're the exact same player, but they're both asked to do a very similar job.
Okay, so question, does Kante keep the formation then? Because he has changed it.
I think he has to, the way they're playing.
Yeah, and it's like, look, it was a terrible, terrible tactical decision from Koeman to try and play three at the back. Because Williams and Jagielka, who are two very, very, very good centre-backs, were just non-existent. Like, they were dragged all over the place. And
heck, I tried to go three in the back with my boys' team this weekend.
How would that fare? Not so good.
We had to go back to our regular formation. We hung five goals on them.
But, it's for me, you're always going to get kind of, when they're on song, Chelsea, you're always going to get overrun in midfield. So putting that extra man in midfield, for me, that Everton did, was, you might as well have just took 10 men out of there. Yeah, I mean, it was just poor.
All right, Ryan, question for you.
Yeah.
Kevin De Bruyne or Eden Hazard?
Good question. On current form, right now, I'd take Hazard, even though I think
De Bruyne is in pretty good form.
For longer periods of a game, over 90 minutes, De Bruyne gives you more touches, more through pass. His final ball is better than Hazard's. I mean, that's just...
He's a set-piece specialist.
But, I mean, on current form right now, you can't leave Hazard out. Those two finishes were absolutely brilliant.
Yeah,
but it's going to bounce up and down. I mean, obviously,
De Bruyne is currently the assist leader in the Premier League, though.
Yeah.
I forget who it was. Somebody said that he's the second best player in the world right now behind Messi.
Was that a Chelsea fan that said that?
Most likely. But
that far.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I mean, everybody knows Ronaldo's tops.
Yeah. Well, it goes, according to Andy, it goes Messi, Ronaldo, Troy Deeney, and then
no.
De Bruyne.
I thought Andy liked Pogba or Ibrahimovic, number one.
Ibra.
Yeah.
We'll get to that later.
Yeah, but everybody's got that about their own team. They've got that player that everyone's like, what? Yeah. Like Ozil. I've been hearing Ozil. Everyone like loves Ozil.
What did you see
Arsenal.
His goal midweek?
Right, of course. Good. But I don't. I wouldn't rate him in world class.
Next Bergkamp, give him some time.
Who's the kid you were talking
give
about
Give him some time.
How much time does he want?
Right.
He's been around for like ever.
He's 44.
He's 27.
It's like Giggs. Give Giggs some time.
And apparently he's agreed to a new deal at the Emirates, $160,000 a week. And he probably wants Jack's jersey, which we're probably going
to
give it to
probably
him.
Probably laughing all the way to the bank on that one. But look, let's just stick with the Chelsea thing a minute. Look, they are proper contenders this year. They started... they were slightly inconsistent when they started. They lost two games. I think they drew against Swansea 2-2 that they probably should have lost. But they're the real deal. Fair play to them. They've gone on a bit of a run and fully deserve. So, yeah.
All right, guys. It is almost 20 past the hour. All right, guys. Welcome back. All right. So the next game, Arsenal versus Tottenham. We were talking about Arsenal just there.
North London derby.
Bit disappointing, but... I thought there would be more goals in this. Hey,
it didn't seem to have the energy that some of the last couple years over the years had. Some of my Tottenham friends said that they thought it was an even game. I can pretty much concur with that, but it was such a stupid penalty to give away from Koscielny, our captain. You got to trust the men behind you and not do that.
Dude, on current form, I was favoring Arsenal to absolutely thump Tottenham. Tottenham couldn't score for toffee, basically, is what I'd been kind of running off. It was a draw. I mean, it was disappointing in that.
Sanchez did absolutely nothing in this game. I was really disappointed by that.
Filthy Sanchez.
I just want to say, if you tune in, if you go to the podcast and listen to last week's, I got this prediction bang on 1-1. Thanks very much.
What's your?
I'm telling you guys, 2-10, 14, 27, like 32, and 45.
I just had a feeling, look, it's still relatively early in the season. They're both going to be up there by the end of it. I knew this was going to be kind of a tactical chess game between Pochettino and Wenger.
And Pochettino changes tactics.
I just felt like it was always going to end up being 1-1. I got nothing else to say other than...
I was glad to see Harry Kane find the net, even if it was a penalty.
Good welcome back, wasn't it? That'll get his confidence going and stuff. That's what he needed, bouncing back from injury. So, and this was a game, I guarantee, when he got injured a couple of months ago, this was earmarked.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I'll do everything I can. I'm not going to risk it in the EFL Cup. I'm not going to risk it the week before in the league game. This is the game I'm coming back for. So, fair play to Pochettino to, keep him with that. And fair play to Harry Kane for putting the penalty away. So.
Yeah. I know there was a lot of excitement midweek when Pochettino said that Harry was fit to play. And I thought that would even the playing fields out a little bit. But, obviously it did, because the result shows up. But, I just thought Arsenal
was... Well, Jensen hasn't really proven his worth yet.
He came on, his first touch, I said it last week, I'll say it again this week, his first touch was shocking.
His pace, he was out of it.
He's 2 or 3 yards off the pace. For me, all they've done is sell Soldado and bought Soldado again. Are you Soldado in disguise, is what I keep screaming at
this. He's a little taller.
It's like wrestling in the 80s. The guy would get suspended and he comes back with a mask on.
Did you used to watch the wrestling in the 80s?
Maybe.
Yeah. All that baby oil? Yeah.
He's a big Ric Flair fan, everybody.
But hey, with Arsenal, with the Arsenal and the Tottenham game, I think both teams kind of... The reason I went with 1-1 is because they both played midweek Champions League. Tottenham obviously losing. Obviously, we'll get to that. Arsenal getting a 3-2 right victory. So
a very nervy 3-2.
Yeah, I kind of felt this wasn't set up to be the high octane North London derby that we're used to seeing. And you know what? Fair result. I think both will be happy with a point and
Mark. Yeah, I gotta say that at the end of the game, I wasn't super disappointed, waking up at 7 a.m. Of course, you want to see your team get the win.
It's a really big month for us. You know, we had the North London Derby today. We got to play you bastards at...
No. Sorry. Mind the language.
Sorry.
Yeah. Excuse the language, by the way, there, guys.
We have to
play... We don't have a dump box. I can't do that on you.
We have to play Manchester United, Old Trafford in the month, and PSG.
All right.
And you guys are still playing without a recognized striker.
Oh, but he loves Sanchez up there. Number 9.
All right, guys, you're tuned into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can reach us on 4342 849 470 if you want. If you're, you know, whatever team you support, whether you're a Liverpool fan, you're obviously ecstatic right now, right at the top. Let us know. Or you can also hit us up on the email Blokes on the Bench, all one word, at hotmail.com or at facebook.com/Blokes on the Bench. Now, talking about Liverpool, obviously this is a big game at Anfield. Yeah, I mean, I was really rooting for Watford, my boy Troy Deeney, to like do something, just pull out a draw. No, wasn't going to happen. Not on their form.
No, too good.
Too good.
Too good.
I mean, but the thing was, up until about the 28th minute, they were like taking shots, missing. Firmino had a miss as well, and you're thinking, okay, maybe it's just not their day today. But, no, but they as soon as the first one goes in. As soon as the first one goes in, it's the second, third, bang, 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 bang. Yeah,
that's what they do. Look, the Mane header was just a great run. Yan Mat was just shocking defending. I mean, just textbook, follow your man, stay tight. That's what Watford do. Watford have got so much height in the team.
Right.
Watford should not be conceding goals from set pieces. And for me, Mane's not the biggest lad, but it was a great header. And, you know, fair play to him.
But the other thing that's going for Liverpool is, and I was listening to the guy talk about this, like Watford have the one of the oldest squads in the league. I think the average age is like 30.
Did Jack Wilshere play for him?
Liverpool have the second youngest behind Tottenham.
Yeah. Look, you know, I said this, like, when it's kind of like where Chelsea are right now, okay? So when your key players are playing... Obviously, they're the attacking players, are playing with so much kind of freedom and pace and power and just being let off the leash and go do what you do. The rest of the team looks incredible. And look, in this team, this Liverpool team is scary because their attacking forces of like Firmino, Coutinho, Lallana, Emre Can when he breaks from midfield, even Henderson when he breaks from midfield. Did I say Mane? Probably.
Yeah. Your defenders.
Henderson
nightmare.
Got goal the last 2 months. They just
Liverpool
forwards are our defenders' absolute nightmare.
What kills me to say, but Coutinho has just been amazing this year.
Yeah, he has.
Like he's phenomenal to watch.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, fair play to them because they're doing the business. And you know what? The worst thing for Liverpool is it used to just be a 30-minute spell of really good football,
right?
And then they disappear a little bit. This is like week in, week out now, where the first half is very professional, 3 goals up. Second half, very professional, score 3 goals. I mean, it's really impressive, and
But you were saying last week that under Brendan Rodgers, everything was very structured, like you said, and now with obviously Klopp, he's had that full year. I'm guessing the players love him, like everybody else does. And, you know, like you said, they've all been let off the leashes.
Yeah.
You know.
And that's it. And I said, the only time he'll rein them in is when
the results don't.
Yeah.
And then we'll go back to the drawing board. And now you're going to be in this kind of dynamic with this player moving up the field. And if that starts working, I'll let you off the leash again. But to be fair, they look brilliant. Firmino looks great. And I wasn't a huge fan last year. I know he scored a couple of decent goals, but he's really... looks like he's put the time in training over the summer. He looks a completely different player. Holds the ball up so well this year compared to last year. And look, it's just Liverpool fans, I know they're buzzing and we're going to hear all about it until they Stevie G slip. But yeah, I mean, they look great. So it's fair play.
Crouching tiger, hidden dragon.
Could be.
So like, if you're like a Watford manager, what will you tell your guys? We just got hammered by the best team.
Look,
nothing we can do.
Look, a team like Watford, you've got to understand, yeah, any team in this league, yeah, you're not going to win every game. There are some games that you expect to put in a solid performance and chase and harry and do whatever you can, and they didn't do it today, and I guarantee their manager will be, look, the current form that they're in, we would have had to have done something super special to even get a point out of this game.
Right.
And just like Palace did, just like Pardew said last week after the game when they were beat by Liverpool 4-2, the best team won. They're so frustrating, Liverpool, because they get out of tight quarters now. Very, very, make it look so easy when you've got two or three opposing players engaging in pressing, and they just two or three passes and they're away, then you've got two or three of your opposition out of position. So they just open up the field, and they play with such like intensity, their front three. I mean, it's really good to watch.
But can this team sustain this the whole way through?
I think they will, because they're out of Europe. Them and Chelsea. Both guys. And
so do you think this is a Chelsea-Liverpool kind of showdown? Or is it too early to say?
Way too early. But what I'm saying is, like you were saying, Jez, like, because they're not in Europe, because you said earlier, and about how are they going to be able to sustain this for the whole season? I'm like, these are professional athletes. They train every single day. This is their job. This is what they do. If this is the way they want to play, they're going to just motor through all season. And when you're playing like this, when you're spanking teams 6-1 at home, and, you know, scoring four goals against Crystal Palace, and I think they won 5-something against someone else the week before, you do not feel tired. You go home, especially today on a Sunday or whatever, you go to bed, you sleep like a baby, you wake up Monday and you cannot wait for training. You don't feel it. The teams that feel fatigued are the teams at the moment, a little bit like a Leicester City, your West Hams, that are trying to do everything to try and, like, you know, kickstart their season.
It's not gelling.
And it's just not working. Nothing's clicking. Right. Everything at Liverpool at the moment is clicking. And for me, they are the real deal. And so far from what I've seen, the most consistent team in the league and the team to beat. If you finish above Liverpool this year, I think you win it all.
I can see that.
And there's just silence in here. Yeah, I mean, I agree.
We haven't said this for a long time. I mean, this is...
I just think that the pressure of the fact that, you know, like, against... Well, obviously Man United, we're done for any title race for a few years, I think, until we get our team sorted. But just the pressure of, psychologically, that they need to get that win. You know, and they haven't won it in the Premier League history. And I think, unfairly, well, I mean, so they missed out a few seasons back.
Exactly.
That might be the one thing that kind of makes them slip.
What do you guys think about the possible rumors of Mr. Luis Suarez coming to Manchester United?
No.
Never will happen. I mean, I think he's...
And he sounds like he doesn't want him.
Well, I think it's like if somebody offered me Costa, would I take him? And the answer is probably yes, but I don't like him. But then again, Cantona was the provoker back in the day.
It's,
you know what I mean?
Look, the thing, like the question, the only best way I could put it is it's like picking between two guys to like steal your wife away from you. It's like you don't want to answer the
question. Hold on. We got John Terry on the phone. Hold on, everybody.
Okay. You know what I mean? Like, it's one of those, like Suarez. You got to just take him as a footballer. World class. Absolute world class.
Professional, too.
And he's calmed down a lot since he's been at Barca. But I think that's because he's surrounded by world class players.
Absolutely.
The game's a little easier for him.
There's no frustration there for him to vent out.
Well, he's just banging goals in for fun.
That's
right. Right. So don't forget, guys, you're tuning into Blokes on the Bench here on 94.7. You can get in contact with us on 434-284-9470. Or you can hit us up on Facebook, facebook.com/Blokes on the Bench. Blokes on the Bench, even. Blah, 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 blah. All right, yeah, so, moving on. Hull versus Southampton.
Okay, way to go, Hull.
Right.
Boy. Look, we spoke about it last week. They haven't won in 7 games. I think it was in the top, because we weren't watching the game, were we? It came up in the top corner.
Right, yeah.
And it said Southampton 1-0 after like 6 minutes.
No surprise.
And I'm like, God, Hull are in just massive trouble. So for them to come back. But like I said last week, Snodgrass is so important to this team.
When he's
with
fit.
With the set pieces, that left foot, everything goes through him.
His desire, too.
And he gets on the score sheet in the 61st, and then Dawson... on the 63rd, and they had managed to hold on. Real great performance second half from them to turn that around against a very good Southampton team. Happy for Mike Phelan, happy for the Hull boys, and 3 points, and hopefully they can think, okay, let's bounce on again. So,
do you think Hull can pull themselves out?
I mean, in the past few weeks, we would talk about how tight the top was. If I'm looking at 18th through 13th, 12th even. 2 points separate.
Yeah,
we have the fixtures here.
Everything's bunched.
Oh man, it's crazy.
It's so crazy. This is going to be a really interesting year because I think both the title. I'm going to go on a limb right now. The title and two of the three relegation positions will go down to the last day.
Watford and Burnley are sitting 8th and 9th. That's insane to me.
Yeah. Right.
Burnley, now, isn't it?
Is this Watford's second year or first year in the Premier League? Like
third, isn't it?
Third,
yeah.
So they've been in it a few years now, okay.
Yeah.
And Burnley are back in it this year, right?
Yeah.
They went out last year. They were in the year
and
before.
They won the championship, yeah.
Yeah. Back. Oh well. So there you go. At least you're not sitting at the bottom. It's actually quite nice to see teams that make it up through, like Norwich, obviously get relegated back down again.
Yeah.
You know, it's good to see a team come up and stay up for at least 1 year.
Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah. Next game, Swansea versus Man United. And, this was...
I'll let you guys take this one away.
Yeah, this was,
no, you can have your opinion. I want to know your opinion of this. It probably
look,
be good.
The past two seasons, everyone...
I just want to see Bob Bradley get a win.
Yeah, me too.
I'm so glad it wasn't today.
Yeah. But next week, Bob.
If you look at the past two seasons, Swansea have been, like, the bane of our existence. Nicking 2-1 wins. How many times are you going to see 2-1? And they beat us, like, twice at Old Trafford in 2 years. And they, I think we... got a draw and they beat us at the Liberty last year, but Man United played really well today, and for one reason and one reason only: Michael Carrick.
We all knew that was coming.
The best midfielder in the Premier League by an absolute country mile, and the guy runs half as much as any other central midfielder in the league. So take that information. That means that he has the most positional brain in football history. He was absolutely phenomenal. Everything goes through him. You only have to look at the win rate for United when Carrick's on the pitch. It's ridiculous. Right. Ridiculous. I don't care if he's 35, 45, 55. Stick him in the team because he does a job for
it. Phil Jones is back as well. It's nice to see him back playing.
And the two best performances we've seen from Paul Pogba this year, who's played alongside him?
Michael Carrick.
I mean, Jose, they don't pay me $40 million a year to run the club, but you must see that. You have to play Carrick. I think Carrick can play every single week in the Premier League because the way that he plays the game, the way that he takes care of himself, I know that he's been influenced by, like, Ryan Giggs, how Ryan Giggs was able to go for till he was 40 years old, like the yoga and stuff.
Yeah,
I know he's really into that, Michael Carrick, because he wants to play. He wants to play at this club. And he knows he can do a job. And it was absolute classic Michael Carrick performance. Let Pogba loose. One of the best. It was the best performance in a United shirt for Pogba.
That goal. Oh.
It was a great finish, great technique.
I lost my voice. I was like talking to Ryan afterwards.
Finally, I'm getting tired of seeing that commercial all the time.
I know, mate.
Pogba.
And, what a rocket of a goal, though. I mean, it was just beautiful to watch.
And then it was great to see Ibra get two in the first half. That'll silence a few people that are like, oh, he can't cut it in the Premier League. Look, he's creating so many chances. It's what people don't understand, and they wanted to jump on the bandwagon about Ibrahimovic, is like, oh, he hasn't scored in like 7 games. How many chances has he created in 7 games? I mean, the number's ridiculous, right? To be able to even create a chance at this level... is like you have to be something a little bit special.
Well, I think his second goal, the flick, he played off to Rooney, who then slotted him back through. Was...
I mean, look, the guy's going to do the business. He said he wasn't worried about the drought, but being somebody who scored like 51 goals in like 49 games or whatever, I'm sure it was on his mind a little bit. But top professional, a couple of great finishes. I think Fabianski was pretty poor today, actually. For Swansea, and he's a pretty decent goalkeeper. But look, they got back in it with a decent header from a set piece on the 69th minute. It was a really professional performance from United. They dominated the game from start to finish. Everything went through.
What do you think of these people that, at least at the start of the season, were kind of comparing Ibrahimovic to like Berbatov? I don't see it. I think
he's a little bit lazy.
Kinda,
I mean,
but he creates more chances.
He shows up when he needs to, but there's still, it's just, you talk about work rate, and It looks like Zlatan's not putting out nearly as much.
They're actually extremely similar players, almost down to everything, like the skill, footwork, Berber's a top player.
Berbatov was magical.
Say about Berber.
All right, guys, the time is, I was going to say 20 past. It's almost 6:40. We'll be right back. All right, guys, welcome back. Just a very quick mention when we're talking about Man United. You had some bad news today about Van Persie.
Robin Van Persie took a shot to the eye. They said he potentially could be blind out of the one eye.
Yeah,
which could potentially really hurt his footballing career.
Potentially.
I mean, look, as soon as you lose sight in one eye and you're a professional footballer, you're pretty much done. It's simply because it's everything's like balance, being able to scan around.
And just see the ball.
Yeah, and you know what? It is shocking and stuff, but he's at the end of his career and stuff.
Right, this wasn't happening when he was like 19 or 20.
I mean, that would have just been devastating. It's devastating. I mean, I'm not even going to finish the sentence, but...
Still, thoughts and prayers.
Thoughts and prayers go out to Van Persie. Get well soon, mate. You scored the greatest goal of the century so far, so...
Which one was that?
Against Villa, wasn't it?
Rooney, no, I still think the World Cup goal.
No,
Blind.
Get out. Get
the diving header, the flying
Dutchman. Everyone knows his best goals are scored for Arsenal. Get out of here.
Okay.
You get out. I remember that time we played you with Van Persie and we beat you 8-2.
Okay.
That's what I remember about Van Persie at Arsenal. I still love the guy.
Yeah, let me just thing on that.
His goal against Liverpool?
Van Persie actually missed the penalty as well.
I feel like it's Jerry Springer here. Go on.
That was a crowning moment for De Gea, tipping that penalty around the post and then boom, flying save against Mata.
Yeah.
Against Chelsea, boom. Best goalkeeper in the world. Thanks very much.
All right. The next game, King Power Stadium today. It was Leicester City versus West Bromwich Albion.
No Vardy.
Vardy, come on.
He came on, but why didn't he start?
Here's the thing, and I think Ryan had pointed to this a few weeks back. People know their game plan, which is, last year it was always, well, you guys can have the possession, we'll catch you on the counter-attack. This year, everyone's like, no, you can have the ball and see what you can do with it. And they can't perform.
Yeah.
Because they're not knocking the balls forward for Vardy to make those big runs.
But you say that, and that people... Look, it's the best league in the world with some of the most intelligent managers and coaches on the planet. So when people say that, oh, people didn't know what Leicester were doing, like, of course they did. They've sat there, they've watched it for 38 games. Like, if you can't figure it out after 15, then sorry, you don't deserve to be. Leicester was sensational last year. Their problem is that that very first game of the season, they try to be something that they're not. They went back, they got some success, but unfortunately, your big players from last year aren't performing. And when you lose a player like Kante to Chelsea, who was the absolute staple of your midfield, you can't replace that player. You can't replace that player with a Danny Drinkwater. Even though I rate Danny Drinkwater or King, not the same player.
Right.
So they were always going to struggle, and
they didn't really make any sign. I mean, they obviously did mostly. No, but
I think
really
they need more Okazaki.
That's it. I like Okazaki. Works hard. He gives you 100% every time he hits the field.
He reminds me a lot of Park Ji.
He's not as good as Park Ji Sung, but...
I knew that was coming.
Well, he's not.
Simple. Why?
Because he's not. Simple. Park Ji Sung's a way better finisher. And they have the same work rate, the same work ethic, but Park Ji Sung was an absolute legend. Legend.
He was one of those players that Fergie kind of like...
Big games, he always
kept on the back burner in the big games, just
big game player,
whipped him out. And
yeah, he doesn't stop. So the Energizer Bunny just keeps going and going and going.
All right, so that's the end of the results. But we have the table now. So Liverpool are sitting pretty on top in 26 points in number one. Second in the table, Chelsea sitting at 25. Man City in third on 24. Arsenal on 24 as well, and fourth. I mean, how does this table
differential.
Keeps... Right, and it's just changing every week. Tottenham are in fifth and 21. Man United have moved up the league, thankfully. They're in sixth and 18. Everton on 18 and seventh as well.
I honestly don't think you guys are out of it.
Watford are obviously sitting in eighth. Burnley, ninth. And obviously Southampton in tenth. And the bottom still hasn't changed at all. It's like we have Hull, On the 18th, 19th, we have Swansea, and Sunderland sitting at 5 points in 20th. It's just...
And for, not to, you know, harp on Man U, but it's one of the reasons I can't get excited about today. Yes, they played well,
but you're so beating, far back.
You're beating the likes of Swansea.
Right.
Like, that's a game you have to win. Granted, like you said, they've been a thorn in our side the past few seasons. But it,
with the players we bought,
it seems like for every game we play well, we follow it up with like two bad matches.
Right. So, that is exactly right.
The table's just
frustrating. The thing is as well about the United Swansea game today is you've got Zlatan picked up a yellow card, so he's out of the Arsenal game.
Yep.
Which I actually think might end up being a blessing in disguise because Arsenal have already proved that they can't handle Rashford. So
right.
I think Rashford in. I think you're going to see Lingard start.
Carrick has to start.
I honestly think it might be an absolute...
Obi-Wan Iwobi.
All right, well, I'm just saying, we're going to trump your three.
You're my only hope.
All right, the game is at Trafford, so...
3-0.
Yeah. Oh, well, we'll get to the predictions in a bit. La Liga results? And they both just stare at the ground.
You wrote your thing on the back. Jeremy's stealing my paper, folks. Sorry about that. All right, so on Friday, we had Malaga beating Sporting 3-2. This Saturday, Granada and Deportivo La Coruña drew 1-1. Real Sociedad over Atletico Madrid. Surprising result in Spain, 2-0.
That was the surprise.
And just what we've seen in the papers this week, Griezmann might be fought about over in Manchester. It looks like City and United are both interested in his acquisition.
I think the Paris connection is going to help.
Nah.
Martial,
you know,
Pogba.
Yeah,
you want to play with your mates?
Go on. What's the rest?
Okay. All right. So Alaves 1-0 over Osasuna, Las Palmas 1-0 over Eibar, and then today Madrid rebounding over a very, very disappointing draw in Champions League midweek against Warsaw, 3-0 over Leganés, Espanyol 0-0 with Athletic Bilbao. Celta Vigo 2-1 over the struggling Valencia. Villarreal 2-0 over Real Betis. And Sevilla was beat by Barcelona 2-1.
Sevilla is a tough place to go to for Barcelona.
So well, yeah.
Sevilla is a tough team to play anyway.
Sevilla won 1-0 up.
At home as well.
It was 1-0.
Right.
And then Messi scored and then Suarez scored. Oh, it might have been 1-1 at halftime, actually. I think he scored in the 43rd minute, Messi.
But, I think so. I think
inspired the comeback, but yeah, that's what you got to do to win. You got to go to places like that. And
still think the biggest news, though, is you know Atletico Madrid going down this weekend. It's probably
that's brought everything back in it because they were, for me, I thought they were
table's still pretty tight,
running away with it. But definitely a huge result that one.
Talking about huge results, we have the Champions League. Mark, do you want to read them out, or Jeremy, do you want to give them a go?
Mark does a fantastic job with
it. Come on, Cesco.
Cesca. Cesca Mosca.
Go on,
Mark. All right, so Group A, my boys, Arsenal with Mesut Ozil.
That was a good finish.
A beautiful, beautiful goal. And the great thing was is that a couple minutes earlier, he made a very similar run but was flagged offsides. This time he got it right. Beautiful ball from Elneny. Fakes out the keeper and two defenders to stick it away to get the win in Bulgaria.
3-2 with Arsenal moving on.
Yes.
I'm messing with you. It was a quality finish.
PSG, I can't remember who scored the goal, but it was an absolute cracker. 2-1. It was in stoppage time. I was looking at my phone. I was like, all right, we're going to go top of the table. This is great. Nope, they surprised me. Group B, Besiktas and Napoli drew 1-1. Benfica 1-0 over Dynamo Kiev. Group C, we had Borussia Mönchengladbach 1-1 with Celtic. Man City.
Disappointing for Celtic there.
Man City pulling off.
Right. Honestly, that
an amazing performance to save face against Barcelona.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
In fact, if they had lost or drew in this game, it would be... Be some trouble for them.
Do you think they have a chance to win? Do you think they can?
Champions League?
No chance.
With Guardiola, I think they always have a chance Champions League.
No chance.
All right.
Although if it was aggregate, they would have gotten completely spanked 4-0, 3-1.
So Group D, we got Atletico 2-1 over Rostov. Once again, Griezmann with some sensational finishes. PSV versus Bayern. Bayern got the better of them 2-1. And then the next day, group results. Group E, Monaco 3-0 over CSKA Moscow. Tottenham losing to Bayer Leverkusen 1-0.
That was shocking.
That was shocking.
They were
at Wembley, of all places.
They dominated that whole game and ended up losing 1-0.
Group F, Dortmund actually being the first team to clinch their spot to the next round over Sporting. And then, as I mentioned earlier during the La Liga results, Real Madrid scoring in the first minute, yet still drawing 3-3 in Warsaw. And actually, Warsaw had a chance to win the game. It was, what was it? It was 3-2, and then Madrid scored, I think, late on.
It was a really interesting match. Only about 1,000 people were in attendance.
Yeah.
Due to a ban from the fans of, I can't pronounce them.
Standard Liège, Warsaw.
Whoever, yeah. So their fans are pretty unruly. And
whoever, says says Jeremy.
Yeah, whoever.
All right. Group G, we got Copenhagen, Leicester City, 0-0 draw. Porto going over Club Brugge. And then our last group is Group H, Sevilla, 4-0 over Dynamo Zagreb. And Juve, 1-1 draw with Lyon.
Okay, my only thing I want to add to that is, can any of you tell me who's the only team in the Champions League not to concede a goal so far?
Leicester City.
Leicester City. Come on, the Foxes.
Yeah.
Represent.
All right, talking about representing. UVA?
UVA, our local guys. Unfortunately, they lost to Louisville today in the quarterfinals of the ACC tournament. Last Friday, they had beat Duke to actually get to host a game in the ACC, and they beat NC State 1-0. Kind of went backwards there. And then the women as well lost in the quarterfinals this week, 3-0 to UNC. I think that was last Sunday. But they had 5 all-ACC players.
Does that say Ashley Schaefer?
It's Alexis Schaefer, who was first team All-ACC player of the year offensively. They had a second team, Kristen McNabb, 2 third teams, Veronica Lasco, and Alyssa Gorzek, who was also all freshman, along with teammate Zoe Morse.
Wow.
And more local news, not UVA related, but Saka, the local big soccer club here in town.
You're part of that, right?
Yeah. Yes, I coach a couple of teams, not the state champions, but the 2000 boys and girls, coached by Dan Inslee, won 2 state tournaments today.
Wow.
So first, I think, coach in the area.
Well done.
Well done.
Very
That's
nice.
Awesome. Representing Charlottesville.
See, Veezy.
All right, before we get to the fixtures list, guys, I've been looking over my fantasy league. And I just want to run the names past
I've been dropping real bad
lately. Me too. I fell off. Bob United is our name, by the way, that looks on the bench.
Huh.
All right, so Heaton and goal, Shaw, Stones, Jagielka and Chambers in the back. And then with the forward midfield, we have Sanchez, Magic? Yeah.
Magic Johnson plays soccer.
Payet and Mane. And then up front, I have to put Dina in. And Austin, what do you guys make of that? Do you think that's a strong enough squad to make it?
No.
Who would you take out?
I would.
It sounds like we need to change our formation. Intern, you're messing that up.
Yeah, come on, dude. I would take out Payet, Chambers, and Jagielka.
Okay.
Yeah. Well,
Jags.
Puts me right down the bottom there again. Thanks, Ryan.
Probably Troy Deeney as well, mate. I think he's going to be stuck on 99 goals for about 4 weeks.
Anyone who's got an Xbox One, got FIFA 17, bloke on the bench, you can come play us. Not very good, but you can come play us. All right, let's get to the fixtures list. Just a reminder, guys, we're not here next week. We're back on the 20th of November.
There's international break.
All right, so on the 19th, all right, so Saturday the 19th, we have Man U versus Arsenal.
Ooh.
3-0 Man United.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, what are you going, Mark?
2-1 Arsenal.
All right. Crystal Palace versus Man City. Crystal Palace are going down.
I'm going 2-2. Benteke with a brace.
Everton versus Swansea. I think Swansea might pull a result.
I'm going to go Everton 1-0.
Yeah, Everton's got to bounce back after that thrashing this week.
Southampton versus Liverpool.
I'm going to go Liverpool 2-0.
4-2.
Stoke versus Bournemouth.
I'm going 1-1.
I was actually thinking the same thing.
Yeah, I'm thinking it'll be a draw. Mark, what do you think?
Stoke Bournemouth, mate.
Go Jack Walsh here.
Oh, he's going for the Bournemouth win by the sounds of it.
Sunderland versus Hull. This is important for both teams to get a result.
I could see this actually being the only 0-0 draw.
You think both of them go for that and then they both get a point?
No, it's going to be 0-0. It's going to be shocking to watch.
Okay. Anyone else want to change that? I'm going to go for Sunderland 1-0.
Look at you going for back-to-back wins for the mighty Moisey.
Watford versus Leicester City.
I'm going to go Watford 2-1.
Really? Troy Deeney with his 100th goal for the club.
For the club. All right, Spurs versus West Ham.
And Andy gets really happy.
Spurs versus West Ham. This is another derby, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'll go 3-0 Spurs.
Okay, so the only Sunday game coming up. That would be the 20th, the day we come back on air. Middlesbrough versus Chelsea. I mean, I'm not Chelsea.
I'm not. I'm going 1-1.
I don't know. Middlesbrough's been a spoiler the last couple 1-1. Weeks. And Gaston Ramirez will be back.
There you go.
He was suspended this game.
Yeah.
That's got to be the goal of the month.
I'm going 1-1 for that.
All right, guys. That is about it for this week. Don't forget, we are not here next week. We are back on the 20th of November. Just thanks to everyone. Thanks to Ryan.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Please, in the interim, send us some questions on email, and yeah, we would love to read them out on the air.
Absolutely. All right, guys. Have a great one. Bye.
210, 14, 27, 32, 45.
Wait, right. Take it easy, guys.
You've been listening to Blokes on the Bench with your host, Andy Richardson, on 94.7 WPVC LP Charlottesville. Join us again next Sunday at 6 for another edition and feed us back at facebook.com/blokesonthebench.